You're listening to the Live Happier Longer podcast,
episode 23.
Welcome to the Live Happier Longer podcast. We're your hosts, Molly Watts
and Angela McDade. We are here to help you build the habits of a happier, longer life.
Starting now. This episode is brought to you by the 5 for Life Planner.
Or if it makes you feel better, 5 for Life Planner / Journal.
Right. So you can go right now to 5forlifeplanner.com and download a full PDF version of the 5 for Life Planner / Journal.
Yeah. And the 5 for Life Planner is a great tool to get you going and check off every day these daily actions. 1, move.
2, learn.
3, share.
4, give.
And 5, let go.
5 daily actions all proven to increase longevity and improve overall quality of life and happiness.
Yeah, so you can live happier longer.
Yeah. Check it out, 5forlifeplanner.com for your free PDF of the 5 for Life Planner. Hey, Angela.
Hey, Molly.
How's it going?
Not too bad at all.
Well, here we are, end of January. And can I just say that it's sort of a really typical yuck January day here in Oregon.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's cold, wet, windy.
Rainy.
Cold.
Rainy. Anyway, but that's okay because we're warm and cozy here in our podcast studio. We are wrapping up our conversations this month on healthier approach to quote-unquote diet. Not diet as a way to lose weight, but as an approach to eating.
Yeah.
And we've had some great guests. We're going to touch on a lot of the information that was shared, just kind of recap some of those. And it's just you and me. And we're going to talk about how, you know, a better approach to eating might help you live happier longer. Yeah. Let's get to it. So I would say that the overriding theme of everybody that we talk to, I think I can say that pretty unilaterally.
Yeah, without a doubt, it's
That they would all agree on, even though they approach diet
quite differently. We've gone the whole spectrum of diets.
Yeah, different ways to approach it, but I think everybody would agree on that. To eat healthier, you need to 1, reduce sugar, and 2, you need to cut out processed foods.
Yeah. And they tend to go hand in hand because there's so much hidden sugar in processed food that you're not aware is there.
Yeah, I know. I think it's pretty, I mean, once you start looking for sugars in food, you get really, like, it's amazing.
It's eye-opening.
It is eye-opening. Mm-hmm. And what did we read? We just read this. There's actually 56, I believe, different ways that sugar can be labeled on foods, on processed foods. Like 56 different names for refined sugars.
Yeah.
And you're going to find that, I mean, it doesn't matter where you're looking because I guarantee you, things that you don't even think taste sweet
are a sugar.
They have sugar
in them. Sort of processed sugar. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the thing? Like potato chips, like Sun Chips.
Yeah.
Have sun. Yeah. Sun Chips here are these kind of nice kind of
crisps. Yeah. Right.
Whole. A lot of the time they're whole wheat. They're baked. I mean, they just sound so good, but they have sugar in them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like all the flavorings on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the sugar recommendation for, this is what's kind of scary. The sugar recommendation for an American diet by the USDA on a daily basis, this even sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
But it is 32 grams, which is like, it's 8 teaspoons.
Eight teaspoons.
Yeah. The average American eats approximately 53 teaspoons of sugar a day,
which is
212 grams.
That is like if you did a pile of 8 teaspoons, that is a, sorry, eight teaspoons. of
Well, 8 teaspoons, I mean, really sitting there with a lot. 8
teaspoons is like a lot pile.
Yeah.
But 53, that is a mountain of sugar.
Yeah, and you don't know that you're eating it because you're eating it and you're eating salad dressing. You're eating salad dressing and it's in it and you don't realize it. And you're thinking it doesn't even taste sweet and it's in it. Mm-hmm. Or you're eating something healthy like a granola bar or yogurt, you know.
Yogurt is... That is
it's like one of those
criminal
ones, right? Seriously. Yeah. So sugar was a huge topic of conversation. In fact, Lisa King, who was our very first guest, that was her number one thing, was just reducing sugar. And the reason that she's so passionate about it and the reason it's so important is because, and this isn't just about less trips to the dentist, though I'm sure that probably...
That is one benefit.
Yeah, yeah. That probably helps too. But sugar is linked to, well, it's of course responsible for the obesity epidemic here in the States.
Yeah.
And the obesity epidemic is of course responsible for the increase
network
of diabetes and high blood pressure and heart disease and I mean, it's just, it all goes hand in hand. And so, you know, there's just and I think Lisa actually talked about it too. There's actually a link between sugar and inflammation and Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah. And I think actually all of them Deb spoke about sugar and inflammation as well. That was or inflammation in general is just a huge, most diseases, when you dial it back, inflammation
are diseases of inflammation. So sugar, and that was a huge, you know, a huge just overriding topic. And it's been, and then after we talked to Lisa, of course, we got to talk to Vinny Tortorich, which was just incredible, just because Vinny's been on this fitness scene for so long, you know, training celebrities and is creating a documentary all about the shift in the diet industry over the last 20 to 30, now maybe 40, 50 years now, where there was actually scientific studies done in the 50s and 60s. And they tried to, and it was actually as a result of President Eisenhower having a heart attack in office. And they basically came out and said that the way to lower your risk of heart disease was to stop eating fats and to start eating grains and low fat food. So what followed was this creation of this low fat diet. But you know what, and Lisa King even talked about this too. Low fat, the way that they did that was they processed everything to death, you know, to create these little 100 calorie low fat snacks.
Yeah. Nutritionless.
Yes, absolutely nutritionless and highly processed and full of carbohydrates and full of sugars.
Yeah, the only flavor comes from the sugar.
Yeah, and it's amazing. So when we talked to Vinny, his of course, diet is no sugar, no grains, which is highly like ketogenic or keto diet.
Yeah, and it's to remove all those excess sugars, like straight up sugars, all the added sugars, and then all the sugars that you get from the carbohydrates.
Right, because unfortunately, in your body, carbohydrates are, your body either burns sugars or it burns fats for energy. And most of us are burning carbohydrates because that's where the bulk of our diet comes from.
And that's an easy, it goes in, is burned up easily, and then... You know, so that's why your body would choose to do that first.
Right. And that's, yeah. But if you can become more of a fat burner, and Deb talked about this when we talked with her, that process not only is going to help you, you know, reduce body fat, but it also helps a lot of things. It helps in, you know, your processing for all your internal organs as well. So it's it's multiple effect.
Her philosophy is or the whole fasting that we were speaking to her about, intermittent fasting. And what happens is if you only eat within certain hours, one, you have a smaller window of calorific intake. So that's one reason. So, but not only that, it gives your body time to process that intake. Mm-hmm. And the benefits of that are just huge. And one of the things is that because you're not just constantly topping up with sugar, your body has to figure out where else to get the energy, and that's where it uses fat.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A lot of people that do that ketogenic type diet or focus on that no sugar, no grains diet, a lot of them also do intermittent fasting. And one of the things is that if you eat more fats, if you eat more of those healthy fats, and we're talking like avocados and olives and you know, but organic or grass-fed beef and all the meats and cheeses and even dairy for some, I mean, it is included. Not everybody can eat it, but it is. Nuts. Things of that nature.
There's healthy fats.
Right. All those healthy fats actually keep you satiated longer. So that's one of the things that a lot of times goes hand in hand with that intermittent fasting, is being able, because just like you said, the carbohydrates, they just go right through you. You know,
yeah, and then they go in, you burn them up, you're hungry. Eat more, you burn them up, you're hungry.
Right. The food manufacturers, they've really created also a vicious cycle, because your body, you know, you get kind of, and this is in something else, and we can share it too, but sugar's addictive, and you have, you know, sugar stimulates the release of dopamine, that that feel good chemical, you know, and we've talked about that. And so, I mean, as far as creating good habits, when you know, dopamine kind of keeps you, but it also help you create bad habits, because it, you know, when sugar is releasing dopamine, your body goes, oh,
this is great,
let's do this some more. So know, it's definitely something that was just, you know, overwhelmingly, I would say, a part of what we were talking about all and, month long.
Yeah, and what Lisa was saying about it, once you start to reduce the sugars in your diet, you do lose that craving. And you don't, so when you eat things, if it, there's a lot of things that before you, she has started to reduce the sugar in her diet, and things that she would eat before, now when she eats them, they taste too sweet, and she doesn't, you know, and she'll just have a bite of something and that satisfies the sweetness, whereas before she would have eaten like a whole candy bar or a whole slice of cake or something like that. Now a bite is enough to get that, oh, that tastes good, but that's enough.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because I know, like I said, so Lisa really focused on reducing added sugar. So those refined sugars, those sugars that are, you know, reducing those. And I think she actually, the recommendation she shared was for women, I think, was 25 grams per day.
Yeah, it was a little lower.
No more than 25 grams per day of added sugars. Now, I know on No Sugars, No Grains, Vinny's approach, they actually have you avoid most of the fruits that have, that are higher sugar fruits as well. And of course, there are no grains too. So that was interesting, because we've talked a lot about Blue Zones. And the Blue Zones diet is highly, I mean, they very much talk about diet a as a well, they talk about diet as a tool for longevity. They are absolutely, you know, that that's one of the features of Blue Zones. We have purposefully stayed away from
a diet per se.
Diet recommendations. We wanted to explore kind of a different options all month long, which is what we've done. But what's interesting is that there are a lot of people that talk about how grains in the body, wheat especially, causes inflammation. And so the plant-based diet that these Blue Zones recommends, and actually our last guest, Tina, follows basically a 90% plant-based diet. And again, no low processed foods, doesn't tries to keep everything, you know,
so fresh food made from scratch.
She's quite the cook. But that whole notion really, I mean, like, that's where that real divide comes, you know, between those vegetarian plant-based diets and the
no sugar, no grain,
right,
which is full of meat.
Yes, full of meat and full of, I mean, but basically anything that looks that is starch-like.
Mm-hmm.
So that would include potatoes, mm-hmm. rice, baked potatoes. I mean, sweet potatoes, legumes. No, pretty mm-hmm. much legumes are out, I mm-hmm. think, and lentils, all of that stuff,
mm-hmm.
which in the Blue Zones diet, I mean, lentils and legumes are a huge, yeah. are basically the bottom line part of that.
Mm-hmm.
The highest concentration of centenarians is in the Seventh-day Adventist community,
mm-hmm.
and they are vegetarians.
Yeah.
And the famous doctor just died, and he was a surgeon. He mm-hmm. actually was a Seventh-day Adventist surgeon who kept doing surgeries into his 90s even, mm-hmm. open-heart surgeries.
But he was looking inside mm-hmm. the bodies
right, and touching
of people.
Vascular surgeon, mm-hmm. touching the actual arteries.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I mean, several, you know, many, many years ago,
mm-hmm.
and realized that the vegetarians had more flexible, pliable mm-hmm. arteries than
those who eat meat.
Yeah. Hence why we try to not take a hard stand.
Yeah,
on,
we share lots of information, and our deal is that you take all of our information and make that choice that works mm-hmm. for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Over the course of the month, we did get a lot of differing opinions
mm-hmm.
and a lot of great information.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line. We got really, really good information. Some of it was very different,
mm-hmm.
but all really, really good.
Yeah, and all compelling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I mean? There is science to back up all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, you know, and that's what I love. I always love the science. I love to know the facts behind it. And I like to understand things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe the reason that the vegetarians in the Blue Zones thrive so well mm-hmm. is because of the no processing.
Yeah.
No matter what you're eating. Right?
Yeah.
They're just not eating a bunch of packaged foods off of a shelf.
Because you wouldn't make a casserole and put 4 spoonfuls or tablespoonfuls of sugar in it. You wouldn't do that. Whereas you buy a little packaged frozen meal mm-hmm. and I'm quite sure you would find.
Oh yes, I'm sure that mm-hmm. you would find a lot of stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked a lot. Like I said, all of this was great information all month long. And I know both you and I kind of, you know, took bits and pieces of it
mm-hmm.
and started to try to apply it to our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
I've used intermittent fasting before.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, it's one of those things that is pretty easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. And I like mm-hmm. the way that I generally feel doing it. And talking to Deb just kind of reminded me like, oh yeah, that's, you know,
yeah,
there's a good reason to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I've been trying. Definitely has made me highly aware of eating processed packaged foods.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I know that we, like in our house, we don't eat a whole lot of processed.
Yeah.
Like we like to cook. So we do.
You do like to cook.
Yeah.
Your husband likes to cook too.
And he likes to cook. Yeah. I mean, we pretty much, we almost, not entirely exclusively, but almost exclusively buy our food from Costco, because you buy big bags of vegetables and, you know, so like all of that stuff we buy in bulk, and then we cook it all from scratch. So it's all, which was a phrase that I had never heard of. I had never heard of,
cooking
did you cook
scratch?
That from scratch? Because I was like, what, how else would you cook it?
Oh my, that's funny.
Yeah, that was something.
You clearly did not grow up in the 70s here in the United States.
No,
because that was like, you know, I can only hope that I can undo some of the stuff that was done mm-hmm. in my body years ago.
But even like, I don't know, how old were you when you had a microwave at home?
Well, don't ask me. I mean, I shared that story with when we talked about my Deb.
That's right.
Did we share it on the website? Did we share it on the podcast, or was that before when we were talking
about it? It might have been, I don't know. I can't remember. But so you would.
My dad won a microwave in 1970, like 1973 or 74. So I
okay,
had a microwave
so that was
like
when I was 2 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think my parents had a microwave when I lived at home. So I would say it maybe would have been the 90s.
Nice.
When.
So I was soaking it all up for you. All those microwaves.
Yeah.
Like I said.
I don't know. I have to check with my parents. But I really don't think. Maybe we had it before then. But like a microwave.
People
was...
are getting really scared for me right now. They're listening. They're like, oh my.
Or they're like, where did she live? We didn't have dishwasher either.
Just saying.
We washed our dishes by hand.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. Not so much. Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope. Oh, goodness. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. They're scared for me. They're mm-hmm. thanking their stars that they didn't have, yeah. they didn't have to.
But anyway, back to what we were saying. That's just, fortunately, that's been a thing in our house. We have always just, we enjoy cooking and we like, you know, trying different ways of cooking food and stuff. So that definitely is. Now knowing more about the science behind all the yuck that you get in processed food that you really don't want to be taking in, it's just reaffirmed my my belief in continuing to.
I think the hardest one that I have like I struggle with is not even like the process, like making processed pasta out of a box, like say macaroni mm-hmm. and cheese, mm-hmm. but like actually like giving up noodles, you know?
Yeah.
And noodles are high in, they're high in carbs, yeah. they're high in sugars.
Yeah. I mean, that would probably be the one thing that we would eat more of is the
noodles.
The dried
yeah.
pasta. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, the whole carbohydrate thing
mm-hmm.
and low fat, high carb diets that mm-hmm. kind of came into trend, you know, mm-hmm. as I was growing up. I definitely believe that they are responsible for for people being overweight.
Yeah, I mean, statistics have shown that when the low fat diet was introduced,
or obesity rate,
the carbs increase and then obesity increase. So
yeah, and it's also a shame because it's cheap, right? It's cheap mm-hmm. food. And it's a filler, and that's why it's a big part of that diet.
Yeah, that is the most unfortunate part about it. It's like when you do go buy fresh fruit and vegetables, they're not cheap. I mean, sometimes you can get them, and you know, when they're seasonal, obviously it's not as expensive, but you know, in between times it's, you know, it can be slightly more expensive. And when you have a smaller budget, you just want to fill yourself up and feel not hungry all day long.
Back to the tuna pasta days.
Exactly.
mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the other elements that I was listening to, I was listening to it on a podcast, and then we talked a little bit about a book and a TED Talk mm-hmm. That I thought kind of applied here when people are thinking about, because, you know, honestly, a lot of us are really, you know, we don't think about it all the time. We're pretty good with what we do. And we think we're making good choices along the way, mm-hmm. or enough good choices, I guess, is really the way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I heard this talk, I heard this conversation about the compounding effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, the book is called The Compound Effect, and it's by Darren Hardy, who's the mm-hmm. publisher of Success Magazine.
Yeah.
And the talk I listened to was really great. And there mm-hmm. was we can probably share the link to that YouTube video that mm-hmm. was kind of an overview of this book. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that really struck me with it is how much one choice, either the choice to eat something with sugar in it or not mm-hmm. eat something with sugar in it every single day, right? Mm-hmm. has a compound effect. So when you're in the moment, you don't think about it. You don't, you know, you mm-hmm. think, oh, it's just one cookie, boom, mm-hmm. and you eat it, right? Or you say, oh, I don't need to eat that cookie, and it's mm-hmm. just one, you know, one small choice.
Yeah, or an extra pump of vanilla
in your latte, mm-hmm. right? All of these things, the compound effect is basically saying that, you know, you don't realize when you're in the moment, these small choices, they mm-hmm. layer on top of each other and they compound
mm-hmm.
and you may not get the result you want in the first 30 days. You may not mm-hmm. get the result you want in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a great, in this YouTube compilation that I watched, it had this great video where it's actually like, you know, like interest, like mm-hmm. we can understand compound interest when it applies, but you could be making these changes every single day for 6 months and really not see an effect.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to stick with it. Mm-hmm. You have to keep making these small changes. And yeah. I know Lisa King, you know, her book, Tiny Life Changes, I'm sure she would agree with this, those little, but they don't necessarily talk about the compound effect.
Yeah.
And how strong it is,
mm-hmm.
Both negatively and positively.
Yeah. So back to the cookie. So if you consider a cookie, I don't know how many calories in a cookie, 100 calories?
700, 100, I don't know.
Just say
100. Depend on the cookie, yeah.
Yeah, so if you eat one cookie every day and it has 100 calories, mm-hmm. then for a whole year, you've got 365 days
right.
of
so
eating.
36,500
yeah,
calories
of
extra.
Eating your 100 calories. If you cut out those 100 calories
right.
over that
yeah, it's 10
whole
pounds,
year.
Basically.
Yeah, so it's like you don't think one cookie
right.
a day or seven cookies in a week or 31 whatever cookies in a month. You don't really think so much about that. And it might be like a half pound, a pound. You know,
right.
it doesn't add up. But at the end of the year, all of a sudden, you've got
10 pounds.
Yeah.
Right. It's the truth.
That's simply for a weight. That's an easy one to look at
yeah.
as far as a weight gain. The effects of improving your diet is just, you know, all the effects on your physical health
mm-hmm.
is just, it's such a big impact by making these little changes every day and improving your dietary intake. And it does, it just, you know, it's the accumulation of all these good choices that you make.
Yeah. And Darren Hardy says, the first step toward change is awareness.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get from where you are to where you want to be, you have to start by becoming aware of the choices that lead you away from your desired destination. Become very conscious of every choice you make today so you can begin to make smarter choices moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, really that's kind of, I think, a great place for us. I mean, in just a great overall synopsis of mm-hmm. the information that we wanted to share.
Yeah. I mean, for Five for Life overall.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we are all about, creating good habits every day. But to absolutely dial it into our month of healthy eating, it's just such a good lesson to take.
Yep. Look at every choice you're making. I know it's not fun all the time, but think about what you're putting in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what you're putting in your mouth and whether or not it really is going to help you reach your goals and
mm-hmm.
whether those goals are to prevent disease, to lose weight, to live longer,
mm-hmm.
to feel better, to goes on and on,
mm-hmm.
right? Whatever your goals are, make good choices and find the right dietary choices for you
mm-hmm.
and start making those changes.
Yeah.
So next month, we are going to be on to talking to some examples of living happier longer.
Yeah.
Some people that are all in their 70s, 80s, and maybe even some 90-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
all about living that happier longer life.
Yeah, which that's what we strive to do.
Yep.
All everybody here at Five for Life, that's the goal.
That's the goal. So mm-hmm. we thought maybe we should get some mm-hmm. advice from people that
yeah.
are doing it.
People that we want to be when we grow up.
Yeah, exactly. See you next week.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Live Happier Longer podcast.
Now it's time to move,
learn,
share,
give,
and let go. 5 daily actions to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See you next week.